under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and the discussion that we have on this broadcast each and every day. We'd love to have you call in. We like to hear your dialogue and discussion, your questions, comments, your rebuttals, if you please, with what we say. And let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the Scripture, the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, as many recall back 100 years ago or less, when boys and girls were taught in vacation Bible school and Sunday school to stand and sing the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me, the B-I-B-L-E. We look at the Bible, the central focus of the eye of every child of God, every Christian, every conservative, and every patriot. We need to look at what's happening in the world through the prism of the Word of God, what God's Word is saying. We're talking about a subject today that the Bible has a whole lot to say about in relationship to the essence of the issue today. We're talking about revolution on the horizon. Revolution on the horizon. I'm looking at a book in my hand entitled, Is It Time for Revolution? Subtitle, Will It Be the Battlefield or the Ballot Box? It is a book that was published. I had the privilege of authoring and publishing back in 2011. And I look at the back of the book, and it says, Corrosion of Freedom Every Day. War is being waged against Christianity. A disdain for human life. Arrogance against U.S. citizens. Complete disregard for truth. Marxist, socialist, Islamic agenda on the horizon. Fundamental change in America taking place. A control of three branches of government out of the White House. A willingness to allow Islam and the Sodomites to invade America. That's some of the subjects that's found in the book. It's a very short book, very brief book, less than 100 pages, if I'm not mistaken, in the book. But the bottom line is, in 2011, I asked the question, is it time for revolution? The subtitle, as I said, was, will it be the ballot box or the battlefield? I believe we've witnessed the answer to that. Yes, every American patriot today, every Christian, every conservative must recognize that the election of President Donald J. Trump was indeed an American revolution. Trump won the popular vote and the Electoral College vote, contrary to some of the Marxist media and their comments. In fact, I was listening to some comments the other day on one of the Marxist media channels. And they took the three states, Wisconsin, I believe, and Minnesota, and whatever the other one is, at the northern portion of the border in America, and they claimed that Trump had not won the popular vote there, and he had not won the total electoral college vote there, so therefore it is not a mandate for Trump. Listen, they were taking three states out of 50 and trying to determine that Trump did not get elected by a mandate from the people. Ladies and gentlemen, we've witnessed the revolution already, but the battle in that revolution is on the horizon. On the horizon. We're witnessing the startup of that real battle in the preparation for the socialist Marxist media, the right arm of the Communist Democratic Party. We're witnessing today the stage being set to try to destroy the appointments that Trump is trying to... Listen, let me just put in a parenthetical footnote and make an absolute statement. If Trump allows the Senate to vet every one of his candidates, he's already got, I think it's 30-32... There'll probably be a windup of total of about 40-45 that will be have to be approved by the Senate, supposedly. If he waits for that process, listen, and if the Senate could process four candidates a day, we'd be looking at 90 to 120 days at the very least before Trump would have a full cabinet. I say to President Donald J. Trump, use the Article 2 of the Constitution allows the president to ask the Senate president to take a, how would you say, a leave of absence for 3, 4, 5, 10 days and pass all of the appointees and have the appointments wrapped up and settled so that he could go into office and on January the 21st have a full cabinet without limping along and having the darts, the bullets, and the lawfare take place that will prevent those from going through. But ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing also, and we'll get back to the depth of this, we're witnessing also not only the revolution of his election, but we're witnessing today the startup of a revolution on the moral, ethical, biblical changes that's being made right at this very moment. You remember President Donald J. Trump, before he was elected, said that when elected, that he would go back to the Title IX and would not allow Title IX to include allowing kids in school to be transitioned, sexually gender speaking, without the parents' knowledge, without the parents' consent, without the authorization to do so. And when a child cannot make a decision, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15, 16 years of age, and that's been happening across America. Trump said on his administration it would stop. We've got one of the senators from South Carolina that now is introduced going to introduce legislation that will say the transsexual senator that's been elected, or the one that's, I don't know what's the House or the Senate, been elected, the first female transsexual as it is being touted in the U.S. Senate. And as a result of that, the U.S. House, not the Senate, the U.S. House, but as a result of that, I believe it's Nancy Mace is the name of the legislator from South Carolina. She's introducing legislation to say it will not happen. The Speaker of the House says there will not be men going in women's bathrooms in the Capitol. And you have Donald Trump saying that he will make sure that that does not happen in our schools and in the legislative branches under his leadership. We're going to be talking about that as a major portion of that of the broadcast today. That's what we're going to be discussing. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you of this before we take our first caller. Let me remind you that we face the issues based on the authority of the Scripture, the Truth Book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples made the statement, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, the Bible says, thy word is truth. Psalms 117:2, the Scripture says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. But ladies and gentlemen, the folks on Capitol Hill, the folks in the loose, lax, lost, living Marxist agenda in the Democratic Party, they do not understand truth. I believe that most of them cannot even spell truth. And yet we find it basically bringing to fruition what the secularist George Orwell said in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell made this statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And I believe we need to recognize the danger of that taking place in our society today. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns the decline, warns America that the decline of truth, the decline in America is linked to the death of truth, DeMint said. And I believe that is absolutely factual today, especially when you look at the latest survey that says 55% of millennials, that's 18 to 35-year-old age group, make a determination. They said there's no such thing as absolute truth. They go on, the millennials go on to say each person determines his or her own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one version of truth, and that's truth. You can't bifurcate it, you can't modify it, you can't change it, you can't twist it and call it truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. As we face the issues, the design purpose is to understand truth and to simply recognize that truth must prevail if we're going to have a moral, ethical society with foundations that will stand. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, they have the full line of Honda generators. And Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier. Tools for Time's got a 165-foot flagpole on the campus. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, have you been listening to, watching all of the Marxist media and their crying at the pulling of the hair and the hair on fire that Trump is going to come in and destroy America? He's going to be a dictator. Trump is going to undermine everything that's called democracy, as they say it, in our nation. And every time President Trump postulates another nomination for his cabinet, you find more and more of the screaming, the crying, and the squiggling around, and that somehow, some way, Trump is going to destroy our nation. We're witnessing a revolution, and it's a revolution from the ballot box. And President Trump does, in fact, have a mandate from the majority of the people, the populace in America. He has a mandate by a 312 electoral college vote. He has a mandate to go in and clean up the sewer, drain the swamp, and clean the sewer that he said that he would do. And I'm here to say today, I believe it's as a result of God hearing the cries of moral, ethical people in America. God heard our cries. He provided America with another opportunity to return to our American biblical constitutional morals, values, and ethics foundation. Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundation is to be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Till January 20th there, I would suggest that, well, I would implore everybody to continue praying for the incoming president. If you look at the recess appointments there, according to how it's structured, the recess has to be 10 days. Obama, during his administration, actually appointed individuals when they left, and it was only a 7-day recess, which instigated a Supreme Court ruling. And I've heard what Thune has said, but I've also read between the lines of what he says. I feel that they're going to let a lot of these appointed cabinet members go through, but I think they're going to really lay a lot of pressure on to not have Matt Gaetz, and you can already start to see the campaign at work against Pete Hegseth as well. Also, the administration, the Biden administration today, released another set of weapons the Ukrainians could use. One thing that you're also not hearing from the mainstream media on those rockets there, those rockets are extremely sophisticated pieces of equipment. The training alone on them requires quite a considerable amount of time, and these are not, oh, press a button, fire, and forget. These types of ordnance require GPS accurate, extremely accurate GPS coordinates there. Ukraine doesn't possess that technology. The United States does. So if they fire these into Russia, which they've already done, and Putin decides that he's had enough, I believe that the administration with the deployment or telling Ukraine to deploy those is trying to enact something that would keep Donald Trump from becoming number 47. So those weapons, it's we need to pray about those too, that cooler heads will prevail. Because those weapons don't fire, especially particularly the rockets, they are not capable of being fired by the technology that Ukraine possesses there. The United States is involved with those weapons. I can guarantee it.
Absolutely. Let's take a couple of things and rehash them, if you will. Obama did several of his appointments by recess appointments. And by the way, recess appointments have been used by just about every president and since George Washington in modern times. But because of the skill that Obama possessed in doing that, there was a Supreme Court ruling in 2014 that expanded that time, said it's got to be 10 days. But it does not bar or prevent Thune from calling a recess and allowing Trump to do so. And going back to Matt Gaetz, the whole thing is the hair on fire because they know that he is a firehouse person anyway. They realize that he's going to go in, and the purpose for Trump appointing him is to go in and really tear the building down, if you will. And I believe Trump has asked him to go in after he's approved, go in, take his seat, and find out all of the documents, all of the instruments, all of the pleadings behind the scene under the leadership of Merrick Garland that proves that Garland and Biden were in, how would you say, conversation on a daily basis that led to the raid on Mar-a-Lago. And I believe President Trump wants those documents and will use those documents to then file suit against the federal government because of the way he was maltreated and the lawfare. That's number one. Number two, I believe that we're finding hair on fire with all of the leftists because they think that Trump is going to come back with a vengeance and prosecute all of those who are involved in his prosecution and the lawfare. I believe that if nothing else, and Matt Gaetz and then Pete Hegseth that they're screaming and crying about, Hegseth has a Christian tattoo on his arm. They're saying that that's proof that he's a Christian nationalist. And as a result of that, they're against him. What we're watching is those that will be in charge of the division that has authority, police power authority, the left is against it. And they're going to do everything they can to destroy it. And the major thing they're saying about Gaetz is look at his moral background. Listen, Jim, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but in the U.S. House of Representatives, they hold a slush fund of between $15 and $22 million to pay those that make accusations, females that come up and say they have had illegal, illicit, unwanted sexual contact with some House member, and they're being paid off secretly out of a slush fund, and yet they're pointing their waggy little fingers at Matt Gaetz. I'm not authorizing or approving any immoral acts that he's done. But I want somebody to show me, and they're using our tax money to do so, and I want somebody to show me where there's any value to them trying to crucify Matt Gaetz. He was not found guilty. He was not prosecuted by the Department of Justice. The House investigated. They just wrote up a scathing report. They did not charge him or expel him from the House. They know that they can't expel him, could not expel him from the House, because they know that, like pointing the fingers at him, be pointing the fingers at dozens of other House members. And yet those same House members now pointing their bony little finger at Matt Gaetz and saying that we're not going to approve him. This is the reason I think Trump needs to, as immediate as possible, under the leadership of Thune in the Senate, have a recess time that he can do all of the appointments, and it's over with, it's done, and a temporary appointment can be up to 2 years. And that's all Trump is going to have opportunity to do anything is 2 years. When it gets to the midterms, you can count it goodbye of controlling the House, the Senate, and the Oval Office. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I would hope that Thune does the right thing and doesn't call hearings, and that it will allow Donald Trump to appoint those members. You're absolutely correct. Merrick Garland couldn't find anything to pin on Matt Gaetz. Otherwise, they would have done it. And
yes.
They would have dragged him through the mud immediately because he's a pretty controversial congressman. I would hope and pray that the administration, the Trump administration, does such a remarkable job in the first 2 years with the economy that anybody who's not doing better at the end of 2 years is intentionally hurting themselves, and that people would vote for more of the same. I would also hope that the Trump administration gets a handle, maybe something along the lines of, if you are a citizen here, you can vote here, and has an enacted law across the boards, because it seems to me all the states that Kamala Harris won, there is no voter ID. It's kind of funny how that works, huh?
It is.
Every single state that did not have an ID, she won. I don't believe in coincidences like that.
That's right. That's pretty telling in and of itself. By the way, I'm looking at a headline article that says Sunny Hostin, H-O-S-T-I-N, she's on The View, was forced to issue a legal note on The View that Matt Gaetz was found to have done nothing wrong after a 3-year DOJ investigation. I think that's pretty telling in and of itself. Well, you've got the hags on The View that have to admit that he was not found guilty of anything. But Jim, it deserves the whole point that I want to make today. It deserves our constant prayer and asking God to intercede, protecting Trump, giving him wisdom to carry out the task that I believe God will have him to carry out for the safety, the protection, the provision, and the prosperity of America that I believe it was on the very verge of being totally lost. And so whatever Trump does, I believe needs to be done with power, with authority, and with not allow the socialist Marxist media and the left Communist Party to intervene and try to detain, deter, or stop him from carrying out what I believe God would have him to do. So it deserves our prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Jim, thank you so much for your call today. God bless you. Keep looking up. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Dr. Youngblood?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
Yes, I am, and love you, man. I tell you what, now this is 3 states that didn't count the votes. I believe that's right, talking about mail-in votes. And they're saying that they don't know yet who really won the election. But in 2020, everything was just hunky-dory. And I remember in Georgia, it was a semi with all the votes, and the semi driver left his truck there, and all of a sudden it disappeared at a truck stop.
Mm-hmm. That same thing happened up in the Northeast with a mail truck loaded with ballots being transferred from one county to the other for the mail delivery, and somehow, some way, the mail truck disappeared for 48 hours, and they found it. It was empty, did not have the ballots. But what we witnessed this time, there was still a theft in the election, no question about it. But they did not steal enough votes to win the election. They're looking back now, crying the blues, as old cliche goes, because they did not steal enough in the votes. But let's face it, the state of Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, Colorado, those are states that are deeply mired into the theft of election year after year after year, election after election. And so I'm of the opinion, as our previous caller said, Trump needs to enact federal legislation that will be across the board that will be enacted before 2026 midterms that will require every vote, every ballot, to have an ID, and for that person to be a U.S. citizen having the authority to vote, or they cannot vote. There needs to be the law that says that they've got to, every state, every county's got to clean the rolls. Dead people can't vote. aliens can't vote, illegal invaders can't vote, et cetera, et cetera. That needs to be done. But, Kenneth, one of the things that I am focused on and concerned about in the dialogue and discussion today, we're talking about a revolution. We saw that taking place at the ballot box. But today, as we're witnessing Nancy Mace out of South Carolina, a House member out of South Carolina, she's introducing legislation that says the transvestites, the transsexuals, males made to look like a want-to-be woman cannot go in the female bathrooms. And she said that's not going to be allowed in the Capitol. And she's raising all kind of ire from the left, from the loose likes, lost liberals. But one of the things that I wonder from your standpoint, do you think its authorization should be granted in a House bill or resolution like that? Should the House have to do that? Should all House members be made to stand and give a voice vote so the nation can see where their constituents stand on that issue? What are your thoughts on it? How should it be handled? Is Nancy Mace correct? The Bible says in Genesis 1:27 that God created two genders. He didn't create multiple genders. Right now, the LGBTQI plus agenda says about 157 genders. That is not correct. God said it's just two, male and female, created he them, the scripture says. And yet we have today, because of the Biden-Harris administration, that boys can go in girls' bathrooms in all the schools across America because it's federal property. They've determined that through the modification of Title IX of the U.S. Department of Education rules and regulations. Biden by fiat just changed that. And as it stands now, there's the transgenderism that's being pushed in the military. There's the transgenderism that's being pushed in the prisons, right, where Kamala Harris and Joe Biden agreed to taxpayer money to pay for it. Should there be a rule, if nothing else, a rule, a regulation, a law that says that in the Capitol?
Yes, sir. I tell you what, the Biden administration, I tell you what, Obama administration, because I know he's controlling him and Kamala Harris, they opened up Pandora's box. And hopefully our president will, and I know he will, cut this crap off.
Well, I'm thankful for his stand on it. He's made that stand before he was elected. He still stands on it. Just recently in an interview, he said on day one he would stop the transgender movement and the men going in women's bathrooms. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson made this statement. Listen carefully. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson said this: "Let me be unequivocally clear. A man is a man, a woman is a woman, and a man cannot become a woman," end quote. And I think that is a major, major, major stand publicly for Mike Johnson to state that based on, he said it's based on his Christian convictions. And I'm thankful. And the bottom line is, Kenneth, before I let you go, is this: when we see President Trump being elected by a landslide, and that mandate being given from the citizens, those in the House, those in the Senate, and the general public are being emboldened to also take moral, ethical, biblical stands. And I commend him for that. And I'm thankful that we're seeing this take place at this early age in the Trump's 47th presidency. I'm thankful for that. My prayer is, Kenneth, that we will not sit back on our laurels as Christians and conservatives, that we keep praying, keep asking God to intervene, give Trump strength, and encouragement, wisdom to do what he needs to do. Go ahead. Yes, we got
not
about a minute.
Yes. I tell you what, everybody he's putting in his cabinet, they can't be coerced or paid off.
Amen.
That's exactly it.
I'm thankful for it. I'm praying for them. Yes. Keep praying, Kenneth. It's God would call on us to pray and seek his face, turn from our wicked ways and ask him to heal our land. And that prayer shield should be pervading our nation today. And it should be the prevailing factor that we're asking God to do. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news break, we're going to continue to talk revolution on the horizon. What's the outgrowth of that revolution? What do we see morally, ethically, and biblically? Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia.